Dean Richards has the entertainment report, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. It's going to be a good weekend to get out and do things, isn't it, Dean?
It is. It is. I have to say, as long as you bring up Walter E. Smith, I love their new commercial where they're spoofing the new James Bond movie.
Which you loved, right?
I did love the new James Bond movie, but their commercials are great.
Yeah, they're picking up the legacy that the brothers started.
Yeah, they did a great job, especially when they spoofed the Victory Auto Wreckers
Yeah, I know. You have to like that one.
Earlier this year. I'm honored.
By the way, this date, October 1, 1982, Sony introduced the compact disc.
Oh, wow.
1982.
Wow.
Yeah. And
what's a compact disc?
Nobody knows anymore. Let's talk about the Super Bowl halftime show. It was revealed yesterday, wasn't it?
It was. And it's going to be a very hip-hop kind of halftime show this year. Snoop Dogg performing, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige. It's going to be Sunday, February 13th, when the game takes place at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. So we'll look forward to that. That's a pretty all-star show.
Sounds pretty good. Celebrity lawsuits in the news. What do you got for us today?
Well, we've got Scarlett Johansson. She was suing Disney. It was a huge blow-up a couple of months ago. Because the Disney company released her movie Black Widow on Disney Plus at the same time that they released it in theaters. Part of the deal with Scarlett Johansson and most of the actors that you see in the movie, part of the deal is that they get a percentage of the box office. That's part of their pay. So if there are fewer opportunities for people to go to a theater to make money at the box office, it's less money going into the actors' pockets. So Scarlett Johansson sued them for that, and they settled out of court yesterday. They did not say what the terms of the agreement were to settle all of this, but Scarlett Johansson and the Walt Disney Company, thank goodness, are friends once again. Once again, it's the happiest place
on Earth.
On Earth.
Disney World celebrating their 50th anniversary. In fact, there's a documentary that sounds pretty good that's on ABC. What else are they doing?
Well, they've got all kinds of celebrations going on that probably most of us will not be able to see. But you can go online and take a look. There's a lot of information online. Our Marcus Leshock has been there. I thought I had the sweet deal, you know, when I get to go see movies and review restaurants for my living. Marcus has been at Disney World for the last several days and has reports both online and here on WGN-TV. But they've made lots of improvements over the last couple of years, mostly in the Epcot Park, which, frankly, I always thought that that was the least exciting of all of the parks at Disney World myself. I mean, everyone's got their own opinions on that, but they added a whole bunch of stuff at Epcot. They've added some things at their Hollywood Studios and the Magic Kingdom Park. In the a few changes in the Animal Kingdom Park there. They've got a huge new fireworks show called Disney Enhancement that they are doing every night, a new ride that's called Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. And I know I would like to ride an eggplant.
Is that an e-ticket?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how all this works. It's been a while since I've been. When was the last time you were at Disney World?
Oh, probably 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, it's even more than that for me. It's been a long time. But what I do remember is the very first day that I ever went there, a bunch of us loaded into a car. We drove down to Orlando. We get to Disney World. We're, you know, enjoying the rides right when the news breaks that Elvis Presley had died. Hmm. That's how I'll always remember my first time experiencing Disney World there.
My story connected to Disney World is worse, and I hesitate to even start with this.
Oh,
but
please.
I'll give you the short version. Many, many years ago, I'm on vacation somewhere in Mexico, and somebody comes up to me and just somebody I met at the hotel or something, and starts giving me a spiel about how secretly nobody knows about this, but the Disney company is buying up swampland in Central Florida. Would you like to invest?
Oh, yeah, get in on it, right?
And I, of course, said, what, are you crazy?
Wow.
And here I am working 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday.
Getting up in the middle of the night to go to work. Right.
We'll get to Dean's picks for the weekend entertainment momentarily here. Chosen 8:21, talking entertainment with Dean Richards. I watched the final episode of The Sopranos again last night, Dean.
Fantastic.
And I'm convinced Tony definitely got hit.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind now.
I think one day the producer, the creator of all of that, David Chase, who I talked to a couple of weeks ago, now I'm going to play that interview back on my Sunday show this week. I think he's going to deal with all of that at some point.
Yeah, he never has until now.
Not really. I mean, he's just said that that's the way that it is. But I think what he's doing with this prequel that opens today is beginning a series of kind of like mini-series of other Sopranos material without doing a weekly series.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that, but I think that's what is up here. This prequel that opens today is called The Many Saints of Newark. If you think it's going to be as intense and as innovative as the original, it's not. I'll tell you that much. And I don't mean that as a knock on it. I think it's a perfectly natural place to be as we're first being introduced to these characters. Tony Soprano and Polly Walnuts and Uncle Junior and the mother in this series, Olivia, we remember from the series as being just this awful, awful person. We see how she got to be. We're getting to see how everybody got to be the way they are, but from the start of the movie till the end of this prequel, it's not like they start the movie one way and they end the way we knew them on The Sopranos. That's why I think there's going to be at least one or two other bridges to where we, where we get to know them.
Good.
That said, I think it's great because, you know, I love the original Sopranos. And I love the way that they did that, really. A young Tony Soprano here is played by the late James Gandolfini's real-life son, Michael, who does a really good job. It's just the way that you might think Tony Soprano would have been as a kid. This young Michael is a really good actor. He captures a lot of his dad's physical traits, but that tortured soul that Tony Soprano has, we better understand that here. The other thing that I really took out of this whole thing is that it's very nostalgic when, Tony Soprano is talking with some people and a young girl walks up and he goes, oh, hi, Carmella. And it's like, oh, there's Carmella.
Cool.
There's Carmella and Silvio. And I mean, you're going to get glimpses of lots of the characters that you knew from the original series. And some new characters as well. Most notably, Ray Liotta is amazing in this. He plays the father of Dickie Maltasani. Dickie Maltasani is the father of Christopher, who we knew from the show, played by Michael Imperioli. Ray Liotta figures very prominently into this. But this movie really kind of centers around Dickie Maltasani. Tony Soprano really is just kind of a side character here, which again makes me think they have to be planning something else if Tony Soprano is only a side character with this whole thing. I liked it. It's in theaters, and it is on HBO Max, so you can stream it. The other movies for this weekend go way downhill from there. Adam's Family 2 is nothing special at all. The Addams Family goes on a road trip is basically the plot line of that. It's in theaters and on demand. We do have what I think is the worst movie of the year so far.
Good.
Always nice to get that. It's called Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which I think is an appropriate title for a movie that just slaughters anything resembling a plot or acting or good filmmaking. I don't know why they had to make another Venom movie. It is a complete waste. Gave it a Dean's List F. That said, somebody emailed me this morning, said they saw it last night, and they loved it.
Of course.
There's something for everyone out there. a couple of things going on this weekend. Dan and Shay, the country singers, are at the United Center tomorrow. Peebo Bryson at the Horseshoe in Hammond tomorrow and Sunday. And we also have Pat Tomasulo from our morning news here. Once a year does a benefit called Laugh Your Face Off. It's a stand-up comedy benefit to benefit the Tri-Neuralgia Foundation. Pat's wife, Amy, lives with chronic facial pain. And it's the Facial Pain Research Foundation that's the benefit of this show that he puts on every year. It's sold out already, but you can watch it on YouTube starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night and make donations. I will be hosting the AIDS Run and Walk. It is back this year, just outside of Soldier Field, starting at 9:30 in the morning. The walk and run itself kicks off at 10:30 tomorrow morning.
And I uncovered a fact, and I'm sure, Dean, this will even surprise you. Now, it was this date in 1962 that Johnny Carson's Tonight Show made its debut in New York.
Right.
And we know that the theme, Johnny's theme, was written by Paul Anka, right? But did you know this? As part of the deal, Carson wrote some lyrics for the song that were never published, never used. But because he did that, along the way, Johnny Carson earned half of the royalties from the song.
Attaboy.
30 years.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Which continue today. You can. One of my favorite things is watching the old Tonight Show episodes with Johnny Carson on Antenna TV.
Oh, yeah. I love those every night.
And every time you hear that theme music, cash register rings at Johnny Carson's estate.
And Paul Anka's.
And Paul Anka's.
Have a good weekend.
You
Thank
too.
You, Dean.
See you about.
Talk to you Monday.